Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 1. We'll read through verse 28 of 1 Kings chapter 3. This is the word of our living God. Then Solomon formed a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were still sacrificing on the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. King went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, "Ask what you wish to give, wish me to give to you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father. According as he has walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you, and you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people, who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, and nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and made peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. And two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child which while she was in the house. It happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had born." And the other woman said, "No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." The first woman said, "No, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." And thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.'" The king said, "Get a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." And the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him." And the king said, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, but they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. thus far in God's holy word. We might have questions when we come to the text, especially maybe verse 1. Why Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. But verse 3 clarifies the general tone of the passage as a positive tone, because Solomon, it says, loved Yahweh. And you see him many times throughout this passage worshiping the Lord through sacrifices, offering sacrifices. And in the first 15 verses, we see Solomon's prayer for wisdom, at least through the dream, what he asks of the Lord. And so we might ask, why? Or what was the incentive? Why would Solomon pray and ask for what he asked for? And so verse 5 shows that God is generous. He's the fountain of numerous blessings for his people. And Solomon, so therefore, he was able to come freely before the Lord, and even as the Lord asked him, and ask exactly what he wanted. And what is Solomon's prayer built off of? What's the foundation of his prayer? Foundation of what he asks. And it's verses 6 and 7. The covenant faithfulness, the hesed of Yahweh, the loving kindness of Yahweh. Look at all the promises Yahweh has been faithful to keep. And that's where his prayer begins, on that foundation. What's the concern of Solomon's prayer? You see that in verses 7 through 9. It's the people of God who are his servants. It's the people of God. And rightly so, he should be concerned for that, for them, for he is the king of them. And so it's with the people of God that he has in mind that Solomon prays to the Lord. And the goal, what is the goal of his prayer? Verses 10 through 14, it is the pleasure of God. Solomon's prayer was pleasing in Yahweh's sight. That's the goal of prayer. To pray prayers which are pleasing to the Lord. And so we are to pray, because our God is so generous that he gave Solomon not only what he asked for, but even more than that. And Solomon prayed a prayer which was pleasing to the Lord because it relied completely on the faithfulness of the Lord, relied on the promises of the Lord, with a concern for the people of God. Not only, it was not a selfish prayer. It was a prayer for the sake of God's people, God's children. And that is how we ought to pray, as Solomon does here, wisely, with a view of pleasing God, with a view not just for ourselves, but even within the context of the church. And then the remaining verses that we see in this chapter, we see God proving that he in fact answered Solomon's prayer, as he said, and more. We have evidence of God's answer here. Yahweh's wisdom given to Solomon causes Solomon to determine the rightful mother of the child. Or we probably today would have to do a blood test. They didn't have those in those days, obviously. There was no real way to tell in those days. Any of us here probably would not have come to this the way that he did. We probably would not have figured it out. And yet God had given him this great wisdom, and so much that it impressed Israel, and that they stood in awe of him. They feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Now, how much more should we take hold of the wisdom of the King of Kings? How much more should we fear the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, in whom are all the treasure, the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Jesus Christ, Solomon, Solomon's pointing to him as king here. And so let us fear him. Let us seek wisdom from him. He's the one in whom wisdom dwells, where we might say, earthly speaking, originates in him. It doesn't, it's not begun in him. It's always been in him, because he is wisdom. And so if we need wisdom, we should go to him. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we see in Proverbs and other places. So we should seek the Lord now. Our Father, we do come to you in the name of your Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is the greater, the great and wiser than Solomon. The one in whom we ought to fear more than Israel feared the king, Solomon. Lord, cause us to fear you. Have a healthy fear which stands in all of your wisdom that even here you gave to Solomon, which we, if we didn't know this story, if we had never heard this before, we would stand amazed as Israel did at his wisdom and And we know that that wisdom came from you, and so there is so much more, greater wisdom than this. And so, Father, we come before your throne to seek your wisdom, to seek how to live life. And we know that living life first begins with faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation. There's no true wisdom outside of wisdom in you. And we cannot live life rightly outside of you, for even our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. And so, Father, we ask that you would give us all faith here, that we would live out lives in a healthy fear of you, in a wonder and an awe, and yet in obedience to your commands. And so, Father, out from that faith, we ask that you would give us a knowledge of the Scriptures, a discernment of what is good and what is bad and what is evil. That you would give us not only discernment, but a spirit, and your spirit, in which gives us a heart to discern and act according to your will, according to the Scriptures, and not according to our own desires and what we think is pleasing outside of your word. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom as it has to do with our bodies, that you would heal bodies, use doctors to do such things for those who need healing. And yet, Father, we ask for wisdom in terms of everyday life and the jobs that we work at, and the times that we have at home, spending with children, and the times that we have to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Lord, give us wisdom, that they would be pointed to you, that everybody we work with, everybody who's under us, the children, people who work under us, even our wives and even grandchildren, things like that, Father, people like that, Father, that they would see that they are to obey you and not to us. That they would be godly servants unto your kingdom before your throne. And Father, as we worship you, we ask that you would give us wisdom through the word preached, that you would apply it to our hearts. You would bring about a godly skill in living, a wisdom which is greater than we can ever conjure up in ourselves, or the greater wisdom than we have already. That you would grow us in faith and knowledge and understanding. For we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.